This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic-Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am absolutely delighted to be with you today as we spend time together having holy conversation, talking about those things that are most important to us in our life and in our faith. We certainly do invite you to share this time with us, and we like for it to be a dialogue, and therefore we request that you get in touch with us, and there's several ways in which you can do just that. We have Matt Gabensky, our call screener, with us today, and he is eager to take your phone calls. You can reach us by phone at 833-288-EWTN. That is the toll-free number for EWTN Radio. It is country code 1, or if not country code, just plain 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Just remember EWTN, and then you only a few more numbers to remember, 833-288-EWTN. If you're outside of North America, we certainly do invite you to join us live here too. And we can do that by giving you this number. It is now country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. If you do call us from outside of North America, we will float you to the front of the line so you get on really quickly and really, really fast. We are also available to you by social media. We are. Jeff Burson, our producer, is also our social media manager here at EWTN Radio, and he just loves to get your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement up on the board for me to see and to respond to. I'm going to give you the way that you can join us that way too, and that's EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or EWTN Radio's Facebook page. We're available to you in all of those various sundry ways, and certainly do invite you to call us with your questions or your comments or your insights or your inspirations or your words of encouragement. Yesterday was a lovely day. I really enjoyed it. Jack Williams, my husband, was with us right here on Women of Grace Live. We were talking about a number of different things, one of which had to do with our recent marriage that took place May 25th, and we got all kinds of calls. We weren't able to respond to every one of them. If you tried to get in yesterday, I'm flying solo today, but I'd be happy to respond as best as I possibly can. So we invite you to call back in, and we'll get to you right away. Additionally, lots of comments and some questions that came in through Facebook and YouTube channel. So we invite you to submit those again today, and we will take a gander at those as well. But here on Women of Grace, as you well know, we talk about any variety of topics, and you generally set what those topics and those themes are going to be for the day. So we invite you to give us a call right here. Again, that is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Well, you know, just so many things that are going on right now, many different thoughts flying through my brain as I sit here. And one of them has to do with a beautiful book that I've been reading in my time of prayer, as well as a portion of my time of study. I'm working on a study for women right now and very eager to get that accomplished. I'm going to ask for your prayers for that. So many different things, as I say, going on right now, but of chief importance, of course, is ministry to the people of God. So this particular book is called The Seed of Wisdom by Louis Boyer, and he was one of the great theologians of the 20th century. Quite certain, you know, that he traveled in the same spheres as John Paul II. I'm certain that they knew each other and knew each other well, probably Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI as well. But in this beautiful, beautiful book, he's talking about, he calls it an essay, but I'm going to hold it up for you, for those of you that are out there on YouTube and Facebook. You can see that it's a book, right? But he calls it an essay. And it's called An Essay on the Place of the Virgin Mary in Christian Theology. And it's fascinating. You know, he sets the backdrop. He's a theologian himself. And so he begins to make the case in the earliest chapters, leading us to the conclusion that Mary is the seat of wisdom. But I'm in this portion right now that talks about what wisdom is and how wisdom, the notion of wisdom, began to develop over the course of time in the ancient world, and how it came to be situated within the nation of Israel, and the way in which it was morphed and changed in its understanding and basically in its definition. And what I was reading this morning was that, you know, the whole notion of wisdom, in those ancient times, was informed, basically the Israelites were informed by the way in which those tribes that surrounded them understood it. And they were primarily pagan tribes. And they saw wisdom as the organization of men in a civilized society. And so one of the chief presences of that reality was the selection of a king. And for those of you that know your history a little bit, you'll realize that Israel wanted a king. They were beseeching Samuel, I think it was Solomon, I've got to go back and check this, for a king. And God relented and said, okay, that they would give a king. But this king would be a little different. This king wouldn't just be somebody that was raised up, you know, just by the natural world or by the circumstances that occurred within the history of that people. But this king would be anointed of God, and God would rest a portion of his wisdom upon this king, and he would rule according to the heart and the mind of God. And that ties in, I think, very much as we look at how even up through medieval times and into contemporary times, whenever there is a king in place, there seems to be in Christian nations this reference to, you know, this anointing by God. And we even have, within the context of our Catholic faith, for example, Louis the Ninth of France, who recognized that it was divine predilection that called him to be king, and he must rule according to the heart and the mind of God. And we'll see by various saints of the church in those times, this constant reference to kingly rule by God, that the king receives his authority from God. Well, we here in the United States of America do not live in a monarchy. We live in a democracy. But in a certain way, we ought to strive as a people to live by those roots upon which this nation was founded. And the roots upon which this nation was founded were more or less, and I say less because it was more of a deist understanding of God, but the concepts of Christianity clearly in place within the founding documents of this nation. And so we might look upon it as the selection of individuals to come into the position of authority, whether it be on a local scale, you know, a councilman or a mayor of a town, a governor of a state, moving on to the federal level, the election of a president and a vice president, an illustration of or a manifestation of a godly selection. And I say that to you today because this is a day that we look to our nation with great hope in what's been achieved in recent times. But we also are very well aware of the fact that the ultimate responsibility and duty of anyone elected to that office is to preserve those roots upon which we were founded, those Christian roots. And this needs to extend through all of the policies that are adopted by a nation, by all of the legislation that comes forth from a nation. It should be something which shapes and forms the society of man and shapes and forms the culture in which he lives. Now, in that regard, I'm afraid that we as a nation has fallen very, very far away from those ideals, the only ideals upon which a democracy or truly any kind of a governmental structure can survive. And we know, in fact, that God's mercy is ever present for us. I was also reading today in the same book about the prophet Hosea, as a prophet whose life was meant to be a prophetic word, a sign of God's divine and holy providence towards his people, a sign of God's never failing mercy, to pick up the harlot in the street and make that harlot his own, to clean her up and to make her unblemished, and even to take unto himself the children, who have come from her promiscuous ways. And God says that to us too, that individually, he wants to restore us according to his mercy. He will pick us up out of the gutter of decisions that we've made, and he will make us new. And his love is ever faithful. He will never turn his back on us. But we can look at this too in reference to a country whose primary undergirding comes from an acknowledgement of Christian ways and Christian things, right? And so no matter how we as a nation have turned our back on the Lord, this God is with us, and he is a merciful God. And all he asks is that we once again return our vision to him. Once again, we turn our hearts back to the Father. Beautiful, beautiful saying that comes to us from the Old Testament writings. And when we are willing to do that, when we as a nation are willing to get on our knees and beg God for mercy, that will eventually filter into all of the institutions of man, including his governmental structures. But it begins with us. And you know what? It begins with us in even a more limited way. You'll remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14, the Lord speaks, and he tells us, if my people will turn from their evil ways and beseech me and plead to me, I will heal their land. So it isn't to the unbeliever that God looks. No. The unbeliever knows him not. He looks rather to his people. And he tells us specifically, if we turn from our evil ways, then he will restore, he will heal our land. So we can try to point fingers in different directions, and sometimes we do, don't we? And we cannot ignore the profligate ways in which we've behaved as a people. We have to acknowledge that and admit that, and there's nothing wrong in doing that. But ultimately, you see, the responsibility for healing the land and the responsibility for restoration of a nature, of a culture, of a nation, of a culture, of a society of people, it belongs to the elect, those chosen by God for that moment in history, to begin this revitalization and this renewal according to the covenant of God. And if we are willing to do that, it will change. Reading another book, beautiful book. I do believe that I mentioned it yesterday on the program, and we're going to go to our phone line shortly here. So I thank you for calling in. Let me give you those numbers again, 833-288-EWTN, toll free here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 3986. EWTN connotes 3986. We look forward to hearing from you, and also out there on Facebook and also on YouTube, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you there. This other book that I was making reference to is Scott Hahn's new book on how the sacrament of matrimony will restore the nation. I think it's called The Restoration of Society, The Sacrament of Matrimony. And I might have that title wrong. Maybe on the break I'll run and get it so I can be clearer to you. But it's out there on EWTNRC.com. That's the website for EWTN's religious catalog. Just put in Scott Hahn. All of his books will fly up there for you and you'll see it. So anyway, in there he talks about the fact that, you know, here he is now and he's a granddad. This is a beautiful book. Here he is and he's a grandfather. And his wife, Kimberly, at one point said to him, you know, what kind of society are we passing on to our children? It was a lament. What kind of society are we passing on to our children? And Scott's response was, you know, it's not so much what we're passing on. We can't change the society individually, although we can change it corporately, as I was saying. We can't change it individually. He said, but what we can pass on to our children is the faith. God is not going to look at us and say, individually, you know, why didn't you restore the culture, as if that's a single person's, you know, duty and responsibility to contribute, yes. But he says, we can pass on the faith. And we may not be able to change the culture, but we can change the children that we place into that culture. And the culture will have to contend with the faith of those children. And that's a loose paraphrase. But beautiful words to think about. So, you know, here we are today, and we look at with hope at new things that are happening in the world. We look with lament and sadness of heart at certain things that seem to continue to spiral downward. But we can play a part. We can play a part individually with the faith that we hand on to our children, and we can play it corporately in the way in which you and me and all of us together live that faith within the culture of the time that God has entrusted to us. And indeed, together, we can work for the healing and restoration of this land. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, straight to the phone line, straight to Facebook and YouTube, questions, comments, insights, inspirations, and words of encouragement right here on Women of Grace Live. Again, that toll-free number here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page available to you too. I'm Johnette Williams. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. June 14th. Dom Hubert Van Zeller wrote, "Give up prayer and you no longer see the inwardness of things. You see only the surface. And with nothing to go by but effects, statistics, and evidence supplied by natural perceptions, you arrive at the wrong conclusions." Let us reflect. How many wrong conclusions have I arrived at because I did not pray? Lord, give me the steadfastness of heart to seek you in all things, to adore you through all things, to love you above all things. Amen.
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Johnette, inviting you to join me and women from around the country for a weekend of formation, fellowship, and fun at our annual Women of Grace retreat at the breathtaking Malvern Retreat House during the weekend of July 13th through 15th. Our theme is Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, and features fabulous speakers, Kathleen Beckman, Father Philip Scott, Jack Williams, Thomas K. Sullivan, and yours truly. The retreat includes Mass, Adoration, Confession, Talks, Reflection Time, a Healing Service, and some special surprises. It is preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar entitled Women, God's Special Weapon Against Evil with Kathleen Beckman, Susan Brinkman, and Father Philip. We are thrilled to offer you our very first Young Women of Grace one-day retreat on Saturday, July 14th. See you there. Visit womenofgrace.com for details or call 800-558-5452.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be back with you today. Let me give you some numbers that you can use to call. 833-288-EWTN is the number for you to use if you are in North America. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you that way. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way that you can join us. And we're also available to you out there on social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is where we are. You just heard that spot about our beautiful upcoming retreat at Malvern. I'll tell you what, it is filling up. So I don't want you to delay. All of the information is available for you on our website out there at womenofgrace.com. You'll see a section there that talks about upcoming events. Just click on that. It's going to take you there and give you all of the information that you need. We've got a lineup of incredible speakers, a lineup of individuals whose message will inspire you and lead you. We're very excited about this upcoming event, and it's just going to be truly, truly beautiful. Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, that happens to be the theme. I love that theme. We're borrowing the whole concept of the Holy Duet from our dear friend, Father George Montague, who penned a book that talks about Mary and the Holy Spirit in that regard. And I just think it's beautiful to think about them as the Holy Duet, right? Just lovely. So we want you to join us for the retreat, which is July 13th through the 15th, but also preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar, as you heard, July 12th through the 13th. It's going to be a day and a half of absolute insight and inspiration given to us by our guest presenter, Kathleen Beckman. We're going to be talking about women, God's special weapon against evil. We're going to be finding out what spiritual warfare is really all about and what weaponry the Lord gives us and how it is that our feminine genius plays an immense role in the conquering of the evil one. I mean, just go back. What is Genesis 3:15? God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You will strike at her heel and she will crush your head, right? That's what the Latin Vulgate interpretation tells us, or translation tells us. And it's a good one to think about. It was Our Lady. It is Our Lady who crushes the head. We as her daughter stand with her in that regard. So we play a very special role in this. It's going to be, I'll tell you, you're going to go away just amazed by what you've heard, edified by what you've heard, and you're going to be given practical applications to implement what you've heard. So it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous time there. That's filling up really fast, as is the retreat. We don't want you to get shut out. You can go to our website, gives you information on how it is to register. You can go to Malvern's website. It'll give you information too. So just, you know, it's not too far away. As a matter of fact, it's less than a month away at this point, which gives me butterflies in my stomach because I get so excited to see all of you there. Looking forward to being with you and looking forward to having Jack with us too. And he's going to be presenting for the first time at a Women of Grace event. So let's get to the phone lines right now. Remember, you can call us 2833-288-EWTN, toll free here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. Stella is with us. She is in Chicago, Illinois, listening to us via EWTN.com. Good morning, Stella. How are you, darling?
Good morning. I'm fine.
I'm glad.
Glad to hear you. I always watch your program on EWTN. I don't have a radio.
Okay. How about that? But you are listening to us via the EWTN's website, right?
No. I'm listening on my phone.
Oh, you're listening on your phone. Well, good for you. Well, I'm glad to know. That's great.
I did call yesterday because you were live, and I got the number, and I called, and I don't know who the guy answered, and he said, call back tomorrow at 10. I said, what, is it Eastern time? No, it's Central time. I said, okay, I'll call back tomorrow, and that's why I called. And so the reason I'm calling is just, I just want to wish you and Jack happy wedding day. Oh, I guess
well,
it's already passed. Yeah,
it is.
For your marriage.
Well, thank you so much, Stella. We were married on May 25th, and, you know, three weeks into this, it's going really well. So we're very, very delighted, and we're just happy to share our joy with all of our listeners, which is why we did the show yesterday, and I think that we may very well be back on together again on Friday because we didn't get very far into the story. We'd like to finish it up for all of you, but nonetheless, it's been an exciting time, and we've seen the abundant goodness of God, and it reminds us that God has a plan for us, and we never know exactly what it is, but what we can trust is that God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes, and if we just remain receptive, right, open to what it is that God wants to do in our life, you know, sometimes that's a hard thing to do, right? It's a daily effort.
You just have to stay in faith.
You are so right. And, you know, that's exactly the truth. So when God presents something to us, whether it's a great joy or he entrusts a sorrow, we have to know that he's in it with us and he's going to work it to the good. So thank you, Stella. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear from you today.
Yeah, and wishing you a lifelong of happiness together.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that very much. God bless you, darling. Bye-bye now. You know, it is always interesting to see that God does work in our lives. And I want to tell you that this Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, we are going to have the opportunity to hear an encounter program. It's a regular program right here on EWTN Radio every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But this week, we're going to have guest Chris Finneman of Encounter Ministry with us. And the beautiful reality of this show is that it gives testimonies of individuals that are on that talk about specific times, specific moments in their lives where God intervened. And listening to the testimony of an individual always lifts up our faith. It always edifies us. It's one of the greatest ways of evangelization. And I love to hear the stories of how God works in people's lives because it gives me the knowledge that God is working in my life too and encourages me to do exactly what Stella said. And that is just have faith, right? So that's the word for us today, I'm thinking. That Scott Hahn book is The First Society, The Sacrament of Matrimony, and the Restoration of the Social Order. There you go. The First Society, The Sacrament of Matrimony, and the Restoration of the Social Order. You're going to find it to be a beautiful read, and also, you know, an intimate read, a very different book for Scott Hahn, and one that, you know, we get to see him as a granddad and his concerns, and we get to be able to relate to the fact that we all have a part to play in this restoration of the social order. So it's available for you out there at EWTN's Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. We invite you to check it out. Let's go to Stella. She is with us, let's go to Susan. She's with us from Charleston, West Virginia this morning, listening on Sirius XM 130. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Good.
The reason why I called yesterday when you were talking about your husband, you and how you got together, and the same thing happened to me, and It's I think the biggest thing is being open to what God has in store for us, because when we close ourselves off, nothing happens. And I know I've been married for 18 years. It wasn't a good marriage. My husband drank and never was home with, you know, children and all this and that. And so I talked to my priest at that time. I had gotten divorced. I never did get an annulment because my whole thing was I'm never gonna do this again. And then as I went for 20 years without, I dated once in a while, but never, you know, felt a connection with anybody. I moved active in the church that I am now. Well, so there's like 38 years had gone by, and all of a sudden, on Facebook, my daughter, you know, I stay connected so I can talk to my grandkids and stuff like that, but I'm not a big Facebook person. But an old friend from high school that I had not seen for 40 years, his wife had died and had been passed for about 2.5 years. He talked, you know, started, I guess he found me on Facebook. So we started talking. He lived in another state. He came to visit. I went to visit back and forth. And
now I'm going to ask you to hold it. I'm going to ask you to hold it right there, Susan. We're going to go to a break and come back to hear the rest of your story right here on Women of Grace Live. Stay tuned, friends. We'll be right back.
Have you heard who's reading the Register? Why, it's Matthew Bunsen.
The National Catholic Register is that rarest of institutions in Catholic media, striving always to be faithful, orthodox, timely, and dedicated to journalistic excellence. Catholics know they can always depend on the Register for the news they need to know from an authentically Catholic perspective.
For a 3-month free subscription to the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 3 months free banner.
Jesus told a parable about workers in a field. Some started at sunrise, some started at the end of the day. And when they lined up for their pay before heading home, everyone got paid the same amount. Of course, the guys who showed up at sunrise complained. Why do we get the same pay as the guys who showed up at the end? And the boss said in reply, if I'm going to be generous, why are you complaining about that? We love justice. We love our pay. We love to demand our pound of flesh if someone's wronged us. We love getting what's coming to us. And you know what? That's fine. There's something about natural law that makes us want what seems the most fair. But there's something better than fair. It's mercy. It's giving to people who don't deserve. It's lending to people who could never pay us back. It's forgiving even when someone couldn't possibly earn it. That's how God is toward us. It's how He calls us to be toward each other. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you also, you guys are phenomenal. The opportunity to say these things on the air is filling the vacuum out there with very, very positive thoughts and ideas. I'm just thrilled that you guys do what you do.
Just want to say how wonderful it is to listen to you guys. You've taught me that life needs to be much more intentional. I want to thank you for your ministry.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
This is Jerry Usher.
And I'm Debbie Giorgiani.
Join us weekdays at noon Eastern Time
for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Right here on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Be a part of Women of Grace. The phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everyone. It's good to be on this side of the break and back with you once again. Certainly do want to remind you to listen to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie following our program today right here on EWTN Radio. We're on the air here with Susan. She's with us via Sirius XM Station 130, calling us from Charleston, West Virginia. She's sharing her story with us about being open to God's movement in her life, and she was sharing with us that She divorced from a very difficult first marriage, never sought an annulment because she didn't think she'd ever get married again and didn't seem to want to. 20 years later, however, a gentleman enters her life, somebody from her past. As a matter of fact, someone she knew from high school. So, Susan, that's kind of where we left it. And you said this gentleman decided to come and visit you. He lived in a different state, and he did, I'm guessing. So take us to the rest of the story.
Okay. It's kind of amazing. So, I mean, it was like we left off. We were just really good friends in high school. We liked the same things. Politically, we are very different, but, you know, that really, we deal with that. So I talked to my priest up here, you know, about the annulment and all this and that, and I still did not get an annulment. So my priest couldn't marry me, and I absolutely love my church. And he had talked to, you know, my husband-to-be. So I teach nursing, and I was talking to one of my friends one day, how am I going to get married? Where am I going to get married? You know, really, we want this to really be, you know, real. And as soon as I said that, her brother-in-law walked in the door and was inviting her for lunch. And her brother-in-law is a pastor, a Protestant pastor. And at that time, we both looked at each other and we said, oh my gosh, you know, to me, I took as a sign that I was heading down the right path. And even though I didn't get married in the church, I did get married in our parish hall by this Protestant minister. And so I still, you know, the annulment, and even though I do want, I don't know if it's even possible now to go and try to get an annulment to get married in the church, in my wonderful church with my great priest. I just want people to know, once you surrender that control of your life, so many great things can happen. And my kids love him. He's a father, even though they're adult children, a father they never had. And my grandkids love him. And yeah. And now, me and his daughter, we really get along really good. At first, we didn't, you know, because her mother had, you know, died 2 years in the past and that kind of thing. But it's turned out wonderful.
Well, you know, it sounds like you have connected with a wonderful man and someone whom you were already compatible with, you know, and I think compatibility is absolutely essential in marriage. And to the extent that couples are able to see the world through the same lens and have an understanding about things together, that makes life so much easier. And one of those important aspects of things, Susan, has to do with the faith. And so just to basically answer a question that you didn't ask, but to respond to a statement that you made, you know, can you do anything about the annulment at this point in time? You most definitely can. And I would encourage you to do so, because I think that the grace of the sacrament of matrimony is what is so important. And though, you know, certainly a pastor has the civil authority to marry a couple, and though it is a church wedding, it's not a sacrament, because in the Protestant denominations, sacraments don't exist in most of them. And in the ones where there are sacraments, in many cases, they're not to the efficacy of what our sacramental structure is, because of the line of succession that comes to us through the Petrine office. So that being said, what can you do at this point in time? Well, you still have a deep affection for your parish and your faith and the priest who is pastor of that parish. I would go to him and I would talk with him about this. And it's never too late to apply for an annulment. And if the grounds are there, you'll be granted that. And then you and this marvelous man that you've met, who fits so beautifully into your life and into the life of your family and you into his, can go before the altar of God and receive the sacrament of matrimony. You can have your marriage blessed. And I just think there would be a flood of riches of graces that would pour down upon you, and God would bring to a new level this commitment that you've made. And, you know, I just think it would be a marvelous opportunity. So I would encourage you to consider that prayerfully, consider it. Actually, I'd probably ask you to act upon it. And I think that you'll come the full distance, Susan. And I'm very happy that, you know, God has opened up a space in your heart for somebody new. Oftentimes when women come out of situations like you came out of, they are resistant, reluctant, and afraid to move forward in a new moment that life might have in store for them. But this God of ours will take all of the dregs of those past relationships, and he'll work them to a beautiful end when we let him. I'd love for you to experience the fullness of that reality. I thank you for your call. God is always with us in all things, and we certainly do wish you well, and I'm going to be praying that you move forward in that way. So thanks for your call today, Susan. And speaking of prayer, a week or so ago, we had a woman that called in, Patty, who spoke with us about her difficult financial situation and that she was out of work. And today she's informed us via social media that she has a job interview coming up, and she asked if we would support her in prayer. So I'm going to take her intention and also Susan's intention into our time of prayer in this moment, and we're going to ask for the intercession of our Blessed Lady as we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Pray for Patty. Pray for Susan. Pray for all who are listening today. Pray for all of their intentions, my dearest Mother. Those graces that most need to be received, I ask through your intercession and maternal beatitude that they would flow down from heaven into your holy hands and be distributed to us. Pray for us now in this moment, Mother, and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we were talking about the fact that God's always with us, and I think that we've had occasion to see that this Lord never abandons us. This God is always with us in all things. And in Ecclesiastes, I was sharing with you about reading about Our Blessed Lady under the title Seat of Wisdom in this book written by Louis Boyer. He references this beautiful, beautiful passage from Ecclesiasticus, and it's wisdom speaking here. And wisdom tells us this about itself. Then the creator of all things commanded and said to me, wisdom. Let thy dwelling be in Jacob, and thy inheritance in Israel, and take root in my elect. That struck me. Take root in my elect. As you well know, the fulfillment of the Jewish religion is our Catholic faith, right? Mary is the cusp between the old and the new covenant. And the new covenant is ushered in through her womb. It is within the confines of her own body that wisdom becomes incarnate in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we who are baptized in Christ Jesus and experience the fullness of truth through our Catholic faith are among the elect. We are the elect. From the beginning, continues wisdom in this passage from Ecclesiasticus, from the beginning and before the world was, I created, and under the world to come, I shall not cease to be. And in the holy dwelling place, I have ministered before him. And so was I established in Sion, and in the holy city likewise I rested, and my power was in Jerusalem. What is the new Jerusalem? The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God on earth? The Catholic Church. And I took root in an honorable people and in the portion of my God, his inheritance. And my abode is in the full assembly of saints. And I had to stop there and think about this. And, you know, as I was prayerfully studying this book and allowing this to become a source of Lectio Divina, holy reading, where it's punctuated by moments of prayer as inspiration or prompting comes, I was prompted by this, you know, and my abode is in the full assembly of the saints. And I started thinking about the heavenly court in heaven. And I started thinking about the fact that each one of us baptized in Christ Jesus is called to be saint. And is within us, by virtue of the merits of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the will of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, that we are called by God to be saint. So that wisdom, God's own wisdom, might rise up, take abode in each one of us. And then I started thinking about the fact that this gift of wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism and that is strengthened in us at confirmation. So just a word to you, if you haven't been confirmed, you're going to want to talk with your pastor about it and see how it is that you can receive that sacrament. Because we need to be strengthened in those gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to us. And when we're strengthened in those gifts, then we act out of wisdom. Wisdom in us, abiding within us, we act out of that. And therein comes the power to be transformative agents of God in the world today, right? So we're never abandoned, nor are we left orphaned. Once we're baptized in Christ Jesus, God desires that we enter in more fully to the mysteries and the gifts that he entrusts to us, that they might begin a process of total renewal and transformation in us, and we then might be effective, truly effective, in the world today, according to the mind and the heart of God. We have such a great role to play, my friends, such a great role to play. And that role begins with a fiat, as we've heard today, just being open to the presence of God, the will of the Father, the promptings and inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Through all of that, tremendous grace can flow through us into the world, and tremendous fruit can be acquired because of it. Toll free here in the United States of America and Canada, you can reach us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you. Diane took the plunge, picked up the phone, gave us a call. She's in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, listening to us via Station of the Cross. Good morning. How are you, Diane?
Good morning, Johnette. I love your program, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your inspiration and your prayers, and I listen to you all the time.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you, Diane, for listening to us. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so very
much. I'm calling you because I want people to know that just in the last few months, my husband and I, who have been married civilly for 30 years, received the sacrament of marriage. He applied for annulment from his first wife, and it took 2 years. And now I have come back to Jesus. I was a cradle Catholic and moved away from the church as a young hippie girl and lived a life that was not very virtuous, and have been to confession, and I'm starting new, and I'm just so grateful, and I want people to know how worth it it is to endure through the process of annulment and to receive that sacrament in the church from the priest and to make your marriage one that is so abundant with blessings I cannot even describe it.
Oh, my goodness, Diane. I cannot tell you the joy that's welling up in me for you right now. I am just ecstatic interiorly and so, so very, very happy for you and so delighted. And what encouragement you're giving to Susan, you know, because here your husband was. He's the one who needed the annulment. He got the annulment. You came back to the faith. You know, wonderful, wonderful graces, as you're saying, not only being bestowed upon you, but with your heart open wide, being received by you. And I know you know that joy I'm talking about, because it just bubbles up in you too when you talk about this great moment in your life. I am so grateful for your
responsiveness. When we go to Mass together and receive Holy Communion, receive the body and blood of Jesus, my husband and I are just almost put into a place of such happiness. I want people to know that once you come back, we were deprived of the sacraments for almost 30 years, and to come back and to receive it, and in the church being with such open arms to us, everybody across the board, the priests, the nuns, the people in the parish, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful story you share with us today, you know, and can you just share with us, you know, have you seen, a difference in your relationship as husband and wife since this moment where you had your marriage convalidated?
Well, that is what is so supernatural to me, is that Charlie and I, being aware that our marriage is a sacrament, we approach one another in an elevated way. We think, because we recently went to an ordination here in the Diocese of Fall River, and as we saw the priests receiving the holy orders, we looked at one another and said, we too can live a sacramental life. So we treat each other differently. We
yes.
talk to one another differently. We say thank you all the time to one another for the tiniest little things, Johnette, you wouldn't believe.
You know, it's beautiful, Diane. And, you know, and I have to tell you this, you know, I was matrimonied in the faith with my late husband. We received the sacrament of matrimony. Yep. We were young people and we didn't have a full appreciation. And our faith, though, you know, was not intact, really. Though we were Catholic, we were yep. not practicing our faith and didn't for a number of years after our marriage. And, this experience of going through the sacrament of matrimony at this point in my life, you know, yeah. with the beautiful, beautiful mercy of God in place for my past life, as well as the growth in faith and spiritual life that's come in these intervening years, and knowledge of the graces that await us was, you know, categorically different. And, you know, it was I mentioned this yesterday when Jack and I were planning our marriage, you know, we were riveted towards the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the nuptial rite, you know. We were all about that.
Yeah.
We knew the reception would take care of itself, and of course it did. But what was most yeah. important to us was this coming together and this openness to all of those graces in the sacrament. And this is something that, you know, gee whiz, if there was a way to communicate this to young people who are getting married. I know more and more are understanding these things at a younger age, but we've got so much evangelization to do in this area, because this is, it's a new moment. And like you, you know, there is that experience of the effect of those graces, you know, in the way in which you regard each other, treat it, the way in which you speak to each other. And I think to myself, golly, so many struggles that Anthony and I had, you know, through the course of our married life together could have been mitigated had we only reached into those sacramental graces. So I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad.
Thank you, Jeanette, and God bless you and your husband. And I'll tell you, God is so merciful. I feel like I've been given a whole new chance. And I'm 70 years old. I want you to know that, too.
Diane, that's beautiful. I'm welling up with tears here. So, you know, Susan, you know, we talk about confirmation. In a word to Susan, Diane, while you're still with us, you know, Susan, we talk about confirmation and the way in which God takes care of things. So, you know, I just want to encourage you is to consider and prayerfully ask God to help you see if, in fact, this might not be confirmation of what we spoke about in that call. Could it be that Diane's testimony, following on the heels of your testimony, is speaking a word to you? And how beautiful to have this opportunity. Diane, thank you. You're a gem. God bless you in all things.
Thank you, Jeanette. What a joy to talk with you.
Thank you. It's a joy to have you with us. Okay, bye-bye now. Oh, how beautiful. And, you know, if your marriage is struggling, you know, and you're not in a sacramental marriage, could it just be that maybe some of those issues could be mitigated by heeding the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something about that marital state? And I want to recommend an excellent book to you. It just came out. I'm excited about this book. I'm hoping to get Dr. Andrews on the air with us, both television and radio, to talk about it. EWTN Publishing just came out with a new book written by Dr. David Andrews, and you all hear him on the program called To Communion that airs at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And the title of this book is The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage. The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage. David Andrews is a convert to the faith. He understands the sacraments, and he gives a very candid perspective of how the church and the sacrament saved his marriage. Something that I think you're going to want to consider, something that I think would be very beneficial for all of us to read, you know, whether our marriage is a very good marriage, or our marriage is a troubled marriage, or we're just beginning to head into a moment where we know we need those sacramental graces to be released. This book is going to help you, and it will also provide you with insight and information just by the read of it, that can help you to be an instrument of hope for individuals whose marriages might be struggling, right? And maybe to provide an insight to them that they might need to explore more fully. So that is available for you out there at EWTN Publishing. You can receive this book by going to EWTN Religious Catalog's website, or, you know, order it online there. I don't care how you do it, but EWTNRC.com is the way for you to do it. You can also call the 800 number if you want to, but we always like to remind you that you help to advance Mother's mission when you order online. EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. We're looking forward to being back with you again tomorrow. Yes, we are. And hoping that you're going to join us too. And let's see what God has in mind for us through the intervening hours and what He's got in store for us tomorrow. Remember, God is with you. He never abandons you. You are His elect. He's calling you to be saint. Receive the graces. Let's plow forward together. Let's never take our hands off of that plow. And let's see the abundant fruit that comes through the beautiful grace that God has for us. Bye-bye now.